Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, January 20th. The Supreme Court of the United States will hear a case from Colorado that might have a huge impact on the upcoming election and how the Electoral College selects the next American president. According to the Denver Post, the case dates to 2016, when three Democratic Electoral College electors, instructed by state law to vote for Hillary Clinton, instead tried to vote for Republican John Kasich to prevent Donald Trump from receiving the 270 votes required to become president. Two of the Colorado electors backed down and voted for Clinton, but a third, Michael Baca, did not. After he was replaced by then-Secretary of State Wayne Williams, the electors filed a lawsuit challenging his removal. The Tenth Circuit ruled in August that Baca could legally challenge his dismissal and that the state's removal of Mr. Baca and nullification of his vote were unconstitutional. Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser said in a statement that having the U.S. Supreme Court resolve this critical question about the foundation of our democracy before the 2020 election will avoid the uncertainty, chaos, and confusion that would arise in the wake of post-election litigation. Most states, Colorado included, have laws binding electors' votes to the winner of the popular vote, and some, such as Colorado, can punish faithless electors. A key question before the high court will be whether those laws are constitutional. Weiser believes they are. Because the Constitution gives states the power to appoint electors, states also have the power to remove electors for not fulfilling their duties, he argues. Lawyers for the electors disagree. They say the power to appoint electors does not imply a power to control them. They compare it to a governor's power to appoint U.S. senators when there is a vacancy. There's no corresponding power to remove them from office or control their votes. The case, Colorado Department of State versus Michael Baca et al., will likely be heard in April and decided before the Supreme Court's term ends in late June. The construction of dams on rivers across the country has stopped the natural flow of sand and silt to the sea, resulting in coastal wetland loss and disappearing beaches, as well as preventing fish from reaching vital spawning grounds. But when the decision is made to remove a dam, it can be remarkably challenging. H2O Radio's Franny Halpern reports that a dam in California serves as an example of what is happening to dams throughout the West.
In the coastal city north of Los Angeles, surfers bob on boards watching the swells for the ideal wave.
This is a classic California point break. It's a river mouth with lots of cobble on the beach.
That's Paul Jenkin, and when it comes to assessing a good break, he should know. He's been surfing here where the Ventura River meets the ocean for over 30 years. But he's not here waiting for the perfect wave. He's waiting for a better beach, or at least the beach that used to be here. Jenkin, who is with the nonprofit Surfrider Foundation, has been working since the 1990s to repair this beach that's seen its parking lot and bike path crumble into the ocean. Rising sea levels and coastal development are part of the reason, but another culprit is some 16 miles away in the mountains above the city.
The Matilaha Dam was built for both water supply and flood control.
That's Peter Shayday, Deputy Director of the Ventura County Watershed Protection District. Paul and I have met him at the dam that's wedged in a dry, rugged canyon where rock outcrops, low-growing gray-green shrubs, and an occasional oak predominate the landscape.
The dam was built in 1947. It originally had 7,000 acre-feet of storage. Over the last 70 years, it's filled in with sediment.
Some 8 million cubic yards, according to Shayday, enough to fill 800,000 dump trucks and that sand and gravel that no longer flows to the beach. Matilaha Dam had some bad juju right from the start. The Army Corps of Engineers warned Ventura County not to build it, saying the surrounding steep hillsides were highly erodible and would fill the reservoir with sediment. Also, the material used to build the structure was substandard.
It was discovered that the concrete that was used in the dam had a condition where the concrete weakens over time. And so the original dam was 198 feet tall. And then over the 60s and the 70s, it was notched to down to 168 feet due to dam safety concerns.
Those safety concerns continue to this day because this is California, where earthquakes are always a possibility. In 2018, Matilla Hot Dam received a poor rating for seismic risk in a review by the state. Another consequence of the dam's construction, the Southern California steelhead could no longer migrate to their historic spawning grounds. The trout is now listed as endangered.
We have steelhead that come up the river when we get good rainfall, and it's expected that once the dam is removed that we would still see the return of a good population of steelhead.
Yes, the dam has been slated for removal, and among the graffiti painted on its face is a dashed line with a giant pair of scissors suggesting cut here to empty its contents. But unleashing sediment that's accrued for over 70 years is not something you can do without a lot of planning, studies, and money. And now, 20 years and over $20 million later, they think they might finally have a solution.
The current alternative is drilling two 12-foot holes at the base of the dam, and then in a moderately sized rain event, opening them up and then flushing that fine sediment all the way down to the ocean.
But before that happens, improvements downstream will be needed, including two new bridges and two levees, something that will take at least a decade and somewhere in the neighborhood of $150 million to complete. Then they wait for rain, which, given California's recent drought cycles, could be a while. What ultimately happens at Matilaha might be a lesson for the hundreds of dams on other coastal streams in the state that also trap sediment. A study done by researchers at the University of California, Santa Cruz found that statewide, about a quarter of the sand that would have made it to the coast is now blocked by dams. In Southern California, where beaches are a huge part of the economy, it's 50%. So if the various stakeholders involved in the Matilaha Dam removal are able to raise the needed funds, the necessary infrastructure is completed, and a series of drenching storms hit the area, just how much sand does Jenkins think would replenish the beach?
Yeah, the initial assessment was that perhaps we would have 30% more sediment come out of the river during every annual storm event.
So as a surfer, will it be a different experience surfing here once the dam is removed?
There's actually some aerial photos from big storm events back in the 60s, and a big sandbar forms out at the river mouth. So we would anticipate, hopefully, a couple of epic days out here.
For H2O Radio in Ventura, California, I'm Fernie Halperin.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, January 20th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.